The Lord be with you. Our reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Since many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as those who were eyewitnesses from the beginning and ministers of the word have handed them down to us, I too have decided, after investigating everything accurately anew, to write it down in an orderly sequence for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may realize the certainty of the teachings you have received. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went, according to his custom, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. And he said to them, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus
Christ. I want to ask you to use your imagination this morning. Imagine Jesus himself walking down the aisle of this church. Imagine him walking up to this pulpit. Imagine him reading to us from sacred scripture. And then explaining to us what it all means. Would he have your attention? Would you be hanging on every word he said? It's exactly what happened on that Sabbath day in Nazareth, his hometown. His reputation preceded him. It said that he taught with power, with authority. He was praised by all. Teaching with power, unlike the scribes, the Pharisees, or the deacons of the day. Powerful teaching. Imagine what it must have been like to be there on that day. I think that one of the more common questions that I get, not just like in RCIA, but I think in general, is people ask, why were there any Jews left? You know? Imagine, you know, what the people of that time, what they had heard, what they had seen. Why didn't everyone become a follower of Jesus? Even the Gospel of John, you know, it ends with the words that Jesus did so many more things that if they were all written down, there wouldn't be enough books in the world to record them all, or the world couldn't hold all the books that would have to be written. Words to that effect, right? So why didn't everyone in those places where Jesus ministered, become his followers. Why, even more, why did people reject him? Why did they turn on him? Why did they put him to death? You know, it's actually a very good question. It's among the kind of questions we talk about in RCIA, among other things. The kind of things we really don't have time to go into here and now. But then again, I could turn that question around. And I could say, well, why do people today reject Jesus? Why do they reject his gospel? And I know, like you probably have heard people say, well, you know, if I heard what he said in person, if I had seen the miracles, then I would believe. You know, and to those people I say, really? Really? Yeah. That's what's nice about hearing from the Gospel of Luke. You know, we heard from the Gospel of Luke this morning. You know, Luke was not an eyewitness to the life and miracles of Jesus. We don't know exactly, but Luke was like a second or a third generation Christian. He was an educated man who put together, what did we hear this morning? An accurate account based on eyewitness testimony, so that, as he said, you may realize the certainty of the teachings that you have received. So my question still stands. Why do so many people today still reject Jesus and reject the gospel? Let me give you an example. This month of January, is dedicated to the respect of human life. And January, because this past Tuesday, January 22nd, was the anniversary of the Supreme Court decision of Roe v. Wade, which the Supreme Court granted women the right, and I use that term loosely, it granted women the constitutional right to have an abortion under the 14th Amendment. You see the crosses on the lawn in front of the church. They were placed there by our own parish Respect Life Apostolate, put there to remember all the lives lost to abortion. Last Sunday, if you were here at this 11:30 Mass, you saw the procession before Mass where we placed 46 roses at the foot of the altar to mourn those 46 years since the passing of that amendment of Roe v. Wade. But this past week, this past Tuesday, January 22nd, on that same dark anniversary, the New York State legislature passed a new law that is called the Reproductive Health Act, which grants every woman what they call the fundamental right to an abortion up until the time of birth. Up until the time of delivery. And it provides for not doctors, but healthcare technicians to perform these abortions. I can assure you that this last Tuesday will go down in history as one of the darkest days in the history of this country. Oh, I have full faith that God will bring good out of this somehow. But still, this will go down as one of the darkest days in the history of this nation. And this legislation was put forth and supported by a governor who identifies himself as a Catholic. Perhaps you read or even saw the video that went viral on the internet of the legislators actually standing and cheering when this legislation was passed. Again, many of those legislators identifying themselves as Catholic Christians. They were standing and cheering that more children would be legally killed in their state. These are babies up to 9 months in the womb. Babies who would be delivered and survive. Beautiful babies. Healthy babies. Fully formed babies. Babies who can hear and recognize their mother's voice. And they could now be legally killed. And these legislators were actually standing and cheering that decision. And then, to further celebrate that murderous decision, this same governor ordered that Freedom Tower, the former World Trade Center location, as well as several other prominent New York State landmarks, should be lit up with pink lights. Okay, how about now? Let me ask the same question. Can you imagine former disciples of Jesus turning on him? Can you imagine former disciples jeering him and even spitting on him as he hung on the cross? My friends, I'm not talking about something that happened 2,000 years ago in some faraway place. I'm talking about now, today, here in the United States. What kind of people are we? We heard Jesus say in today's gospel that he came to give recovery of sight to the blind. Yet, how can so many people be so utterly blind to such abhorrent evil, even by some who call themselves Catholic? These people were cheering. They were cheering. Cheering for the fact that the lives of children in the womb count for nothing. We heard Jesus say today in the gospel that he came to bring glad tidings to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives. There is no one poorer, no captive more defenseless and in need of protection than a child in the womb. How did such contempt for human life enter into people's hearts? My friends, I tell you, we are entering into difficult times. The New York is just the beginning. The New York State Catholic Conference has already expressed serious concern that it foresees the day coming soon in New York when it will be a crime simply to be pro-life. We are back in ordinary time. Christmas is over. Advent is over, but the message of Advent remains. The message of Advent always remains. The message of Advent is prepare. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight his path, because the return of the Lord is imminent. I've said that to you during Advent. I've said that to you often. The return of the Lord is imminent. Imminent means near, close at hand. I've often wondered, do you think I'm crazy when I say that to you? Do you think I sound like the guy on the corner at Times Square holding the sign that the end is near? When I say that the return of the Lord is imminent, those words don't come from Deacon Henry. Those words come from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. The Church tells us that the return of the Lord is imminent. The first time he came as our Savior, when he returns, and that return is imminent, he will return as our judge. Are we ready? We all need to search the very depths of our hearts and repent. And repent and prepare ourselves for this imminent coming. Doing so means working to eliminate the culture of death and instill a culture of life in our society. This means working to rid our country from the scourge of abortion, and not just abortion, but also the evil of contraception, because as our Holy Father of happy memory, St. John Paul II, told us, abortion and contraception are both fruits from the same tree. The governor of New York called this new abortion law as progress. But Cardinal Dolan and all the bishops of New York collectively got together and said, this is not progress. Progress will be achieved when our laws and our culture once again value and respect each unrepeatable gift of human life from the first moment of creation to natural death. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. The message of the gospel is the message of life. Life that begins at conception and continues to eternity. Our mission as Catholics is first and foremost to proclaim and defend the sanctity of life and the right to life. Since unless you are alive, no other right matters. The right to life is therefore the most fundamental human right. Remember your mission, my brothers and sisters. Proclaim and defend the gospel of life.